Jeff, our next speaker is Dred Scott Keese, who's from WVAI Radio as a news editor of Frontline Report. And, you can hear him.
Thank you very much. I prepared my remarks. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Malcolm X often criticized the media for the biased way in which they presented their facts, while at the same time understanding the impact of that biased presentation of facts on the way human beings perceive things and how they react to those things. Everyone is familiar with the story of Malcolm X, who sat beside a European woman on a plane, and while having a conversation with this woman, she inquired to what the X initialed on his briefcase stood for. When she found out that she was sitting next to Malcolm X, who had been painted as a hate-mongering black separatist by the media, she was shocked to find that her perception didn't fit his reality. Since Malcolm left us, there have been profound changes in the media, not the least being the tightening of the monopoly of communication outlets by corporate America. This has led to a virtual stranglehold on information that may or may not get out, depending on the editors. Which brings me to what I see as the second most profound change in the media since the death of Malcolm, and that is the collaboration between the mainstream corporate media and the government. For example, the editors of all the so-called major media are often briefed by the State Department as to the government's view on any given situation, and those editors play a pivotal role in how those situations will be covered. The report has become just a cog in this manipulative, collaborative relationship. Part of the problem is that those reporters accept that role, often based on the $100,000 plus salary they pull in. They have become no more than prostitutes on a grand scale. The third and most recent change is the influence of the right wing within the media. During the Reagan era, the country's right wing, which understands the media far better than the progressive forces, felt it was time to launch a frontal assault upon all of the nation's institutions. It was during this period in which we saw the proliferation of cop shows and their bounty hunter spin-offs, movies such as Red Dawn, and the advent of shows like The McLaughlin Group, which is dominated by European males who give their narrow view and interpretation of world events. The era also saw the rise of right-wing advocacy groups who often put pressure on media organizations and their advertisers to pull shows off that they disagreed with or found offensive. Their legacy is still with us. The fourth and probably most profound change is technology. The media now has the ability to communicate with every corner of the world and can thus influence everybody on earth. Of course, that influence can be bad or it can be good. It all depends on who's at the control knobs. So since Malcolm's death, the media has been more tightly controlled by corporate America, besieged by the rightists of wings, and now has the ability to reach every area of the globe. As an African journalist, my first duty is to inform, to provide information so people can make informed choices or decisions. Part of the Malcolm legacy is that we have to learn to think and act for ourselves. This can only be done if all the options and opinions are available to us. As one of the speakers remarked in last night's plenary session, we are people with varied positions on many issues. If we wish to serve the African community the best, we have to present views that many of us find repugnant, but which in the long run will help us achieve clarity on the many different problems and issues that we face. The African American people are under attack, and so is the media that represent us. Represent them, as I say. Many African journalists often find it very hard to survive without becoming one of those aforementioned media prostitutes. The African American media institutes also find it hard to survive, especially when your survival is predicated on commercial success. Therefore, it is essential that as we head into the 21st century and towards the achievement of black liberation, we build and support our own media institutions. Will have to be based on their support for the general cause of black freedom. This, of course, is not only on the local and national levels, but on the international level. We as African journalists are also a part of the movement for a new world information order, where the views of the West are inclusive, but not dominating. In this struggle, the West has a temporary advantage because of the ownership and control of technology. But time is on our side. And as the African diaspora moves towards its liberation, the African journalist stands on the front line. And we must support them and their institutions. And that's all I have. Thank you.